How good, how good, how good, how good. Oh, how good is God. Oh, how good is God. Oh, how good is the Lord. There's a scripture that says, taste. Go ahead and taste. Taste and see. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Taste and see. He didn't say, wait for me. And then taste. He said, taste and see. Taste and see. The Lord is good. You know, we've been waiting for a latter day, the last days. And do you realize when Peter stood up and prophesied, after that the Holy Spirit filled them, he stood up and said, this is that, right here, right now, today. This is that which was spoken by Peter, or which was spoken by Joel, Peter said. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. This is that day. This is that time. In the last day, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. Joel prophesied that, and Peter declared, this is that day. Are you aware of that? We're waiting for a day that happened over 2,000 years ago. This is the last day, Peter said. Read the word. Come on. We have to. Sometimes you just have to dig your way out of religion and tradition and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, this is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel saying. This is it, he said. What you all have been waiting for since Joel prophesied. This is the last days. This is the end time. And in this time, there is an outpouring of God's Spirit. It's time for us to move on. It's time for us to mature in the Spirit of God. It's time for you to find your wholeness and your peace and your joy. It's time for you to know what feeling good really feels like. We're being filled with joy. And peace really feels like. You know the call to the church? The call to the body? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, rejoice all the time. Walking and living in the will of God is the easiest, most joyful and powerful experience you could possibly have. It's so easy. God never asked you to become who He wanted you to be. He never asked you to try really hard. He never asked you to work really hard. He never asked you to fight really hard. He just asked you to believe really well. He just asked you to believe Him. Not just in Him, but to believe Him. When He said, I am the God that made you and I created you. And God rejoices over His creation. It says, rejoice all the time. That's the will of God. Pray without ceasing. That's the will of God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you wonder whether or not you're doing the will of God, Rejoice. Give thanks. You can pray all the time. You know what prayer really is just God, your will be done. Jesus said, this is prayer. Father, your will be done. It's pretty easy. Your will be done. You don't even have to think about how you want him to do what needs to be done in your life. You just have to simply say, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom be manifest here right now. Come on, y'all. It's time to pull on heaven. It's time to believe God for who he is. And there's only one way you will ever know who God is. And that's when you believe him living in you through Christ Jesus. It's the only way you can know him. How else would he make himself known to you? When the prophet went out in seeking God, the word says that there was, and you can take your seats, the word says there was a great wind and a great thunder and an earthquake, and God wasn't in any of that. I mean, God was in all of it, but what Elijah was looking for was that still small voice. You know what that means? So close, so quiet, so peaceful, so there, you can't help but hear him. Pray, Jesus said. They said, teach us. He said, I will. I'm going to teach you how to pray. When you pray, you say, your kingdom be manifest in us, in earth, just like it is in heaven. Your will be done. Your will be done. Pray always. Your will be done. God, your will be done. You can take it up a little further and you can say, your will is being done. Yeah. And we are to do the will of God, but not to do the will of God like we think. We are to live the will of God, to be the will of the Father. If God made you, wasn't that his will? If he saved you, wasn't that his will? If he filled you, wasn't that his will? If you're born again, isn't that his will? Then who are you? Well, the will of God. Again, the greatest misperception regarding God and the heavens and the kingdom of God is seeing everything at such a distance away. That's why we grab this rope and wrap it around our neck. This says to me, here's where the kingdom is. It's in my grasp. The kingdom of heaven is within your grasp. It's the Greek. That's what it literally says. The kingdom of heaven, where is it? Right here. It's within my grasp. Because it's worshiping God for being God, for being who he is. When you believe in the omnipresence, the right here, right now of God. Well, maybe tomorrow it will come. Well, that's fine because Jesus is tomorrow. He said, I'm yesterday, I'm today, and I am tomorrow. So whatever day you need it in, it's in Christ and it's that day. If it was something you needed healed from yesterday, he is yesterday. He is, if you need it done today, he's today. If you're waiting for it tomorrow, today, he is tomorrow. Say today, he is tomorrow. Yesterday he was tomorrow, today. And yesterday is today's yesterday, and tomorrow is today's day today, because he is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And you can't get away from his embrace. And he warned us about one thing. He said, just don't doubt in your heart, but believe what I said. Jesus said, the words that I'm conveying to you, the words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. Saying this, it's not just what your auditory nerve hears and the signal it sends to your brain, it's what the spirit conveys about your reality. You are God's reality. It is out of his reality he created you. It is out of his oceans of love that he baptized you. And again, I've had people in the church and emails and messages about, can you turn this into wine? Yes, actually I can. I can turn it into wine. Just pour it in a bottle of wine. poured in a vat of wine. It becomes one. It's synonymous with what you pour it into. That's God poured into you. He said he poured out his spirit on you, and we became a part of the oceans of his mercy, the oceans of his grace. You became a part of the oceans of his love. I can take this bottle of water, and I can turn it into the ocean. All I have to do is walk it to the ocean and pour it in. And I can't take it out. I can't separate it. So is Christ in you, and you in Christ. Once you've been poured in, there's no separating you. You don't have to worry about falling away or backsliding, because that's doubt. The Word says he healed you from your backsliding. But what keeps you there is simply believe God. You have to believe what he said. Now, if you doubt in your heart, then your doubt has separated your reality from who he is. Just your doubt. So what do I do to get healed of my doubt? Believe God. How do I do it? I rejoice every day that I believe God. I pray every day that your kingdom has come and I'm your will being done. I confess that it is no longer me that is living right now, but it's you that lives in me. I confess that a life that I live right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Living by emotions isn't living according to the Spirit of God. It isn't living according to the will of God. And emotions drive people because we tend to believe that God will do what we ask him to do when we see him do it. We tend to believe that we're going to only know Christ when he comes on a cloud and we look up and hear trumpets and see angels. And I love what Jesus said. Really frustrated the religious people. He said, Abraham saw me come, and he rejoiced. Oh, they got angry. They said, you're not even 50 yet. How could you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said, I am. And before then, I was, and I am. I was yesterday, and today I am today, and tomorrow I am today, tomorrow. So what are you waiting for? What would the church, what would the body be if we just stop waiting? I had been writing and working on a book and writing down scriptures. And I walked over to my window in the morning. I opened the blinds and I looked out and I saw Jesus coming in a cloud. I did. I looked out and I went, Jesus, I see your glory in the cloud. And especially after these fires, how glorious it was. And I did. And I said, the Word says you fill the heavens and you walk upon the clouds. I have to be blind not to see you coming today. I see you in a cloud of glory that you made for your purpose and your pleasure. You said, look up and see the glory of God. So I looked up and I said, I see the glory of God. I see you coming in a cloud. And I went and I wrote it down. I made a note. I saw Jesus in the cloud, just like he said. And then I saw him again the next day, just like he said. There is no one-time event in Christ. Everything he does is eternal. When God does it, it lasts forever. When he changes you, it lasts forever. When he fills you, you become a part of him, not working towards trying to be him. He never asked you to be what he wanted. He said, just believe I am who I am in you, and I'll do the rest. That's why Jesus said, listen, you guys, you need to come to me. All you that are laboring and tired and feel discouraged and burdened like you can't do it, it's because you're looking at you. You're trying to see me, and I'm not a man. I am a spirit. And the only way you're going to see God and get familiar with the character of God, which is so profound and so important, is seeing him where he really dwells in you. As the scripture says, where is Christ? Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. If God allows me one day and He so chooses and I look up and see Him coming on a literal cloud with my eyeballs, it's not going to be any greater to me than the other day when I looked into the clouds and said, I see you in the clouds today, because I don't have to worry about ever missing the coming of the Lord. He has come. He is present. He is here. He is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You won't miss it. My mama didn't miss it. She may have thought she did, but she didn't miss the coming of the Lord. He is the all time. The ever-present. He never intended you to wait for a time that you wouldn't experience, a day that you wouldn't see. And He says, do you know Abraham saw me? Well, he hadn't showed up yet. But He said, Abraham saw me, and not only did he see me, but he rejoiced. You're looking at me, you're calling me a devil, saying I'm possessed with the devil and denying that I'm the Son of God and calling me a blasphemer. Your eyes can't identify who He is. Your emotions won't tell you who He is, but He can rule over your emotions and bring them into alignment with joy and peace. They watched Jesus for 33 years do signs and wonders. God's voice echoed out of the heavens. The Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. The dead were raised. The blind saw. The lame walked. The deaf heard. And the poor had the gospel preached to them. And everyone was poor, because without the gospel, you have nothing. And they denied Him. We need to know He's here today. We need to know that He has come in the fullness of His Spirit and power, and every other way that He appears, every other way that He reveals Himself from this point forward is another revelation of God's glory, and that's how we need to see it. So today we're not waiting for something to happen when the fullness of who He is with us now. That is the power of God. He said, I'm not going to be gone very long. And then when Peter stood up and said, He's back, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying in the last day, so this is the last day, says God, I'm pouring out my Spirit. A centurion looked at Jesus one day and he said, I get who you are, and I know the power of your word. All you have to do is speak right here, right now. There's no distance between you and a miracle. Say the word only. Peter said, I know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Think about it. Demons cried out and said, this is it. Why have you come to torture us? Is it time already? Should we know less than a demon knows about His presence? Should we be more unaware of His fullness than a demon is? Shouldn't we know that Christ is with us in His fullness? He is God Almighty. He doesn't need a time to make Him God. He doesn't need you to be any more miserable in order to come and save you. He doesn't need the world to get any more gloom and dark than it has been to come and redeem you. He is here. He's present with you. And it is only your faith in Him that empowers you with Him. The scriptures say, they that are born of the flesh are flesh, and we've all been that. And something so incredible about being these vessels, God, the Word so carefully and specifically designed you. He so carefully made you, knit you together in accordance with His will and His purpose, So profoundly and wonderfully made are you that heaven staggered at the wonder of God when they looked at you and said, what is this that you have made? That you are so mindful of them. So religion says you're only human. But the word of life says you are no longer human. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. Can you believe that a spirit would work in the flesh? Or can you believe that a spirit is united with the spirit and the flesh takes on the attitude of that spirit? Can you believe you weren't just filled with the spirit? You are born spirit. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And there goes a religious mind. How is this possible? See, you have to do what Jesus said, and that's where the body falls short. He said, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny your human state. Die with me and be raised again to life. We just want to take it a little bit. You can't do that. You're going to have to be an insane, out of your mind, crazy, fanatical believer that Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're going to have to leave some of that straddling the fence religion and just say, if Christ is in me, His word is in me, then when I say a thing, God is bringing it to pass right then and there, because the word of the Lord is nigh me, even in my mouth. Where could I go and find the Spirit of the Lord? Do we go to heaven and bring Him down? Do we go to the abyss and bring Him up? Where is He? He's present with me. You're not just filled with the Spirit, you're born Spirit. He said, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Deny I'm only human. Deny I'm imperfect. Deny it. Or get born again. But you can't have both. You can't say I'm born again and I'm not perfect. Because that not perfect part, God won't receive. Because He's a holy God. So the scriptures say, be perfect even as He is perfect. But then you start thinking about what you need to do and how hard it is. No, you're wrong. When doing right seems too hard, you're doing right wrong. It's all wrong. He said, I never ask you. It's not by works, so you can't boast. What do you mean? Well, you can't say it's too hard, and you can't say that you did it. So that's the whole point. Do you get it? The whole point is that you can't say I did it. The whole point of grace and mercy and salvation is that you can't say I worked hard enough. I did it. No, you didn't. You never have. You never will. Christ did it in you. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to myself, and I'm alive in Christ. Christ said, the words you hear me speak, He was a man with emotions and feelings. He was in a body of flesh. You know what empowered Him to go to the cross? You know what? He had to bring an offering. He had to bring a sacrifice because He was about to be a sacrifice. Do you know what His sacrifice was? His emotions. His will, because He had one. And He said, I have a will. As a man. Outside the will. As a man of God. So He said, not my will. If that had been the will of God, He certainly wouldn't have said, not my will. He said, not my will. Your will be done. And when He did that, and the word says He was in deep sorrow. He had emotions. He had sorrow. He was suffering. He brought all of that and He said, here it is. Here's my sacrifice. I present myself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, which is my true worship. And he was sanctified for the cross, and then God was able to receive him. That's all you have to do. He said, if you're going to be like me, you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to take up your cross and come the same way. Not asking you to try to be like me, because you can't. I'm asking you to believe that you were born again like me. That you were born of spirit. You're no longer flesh. It's amazing how transformed you are. See, being acquainted with the Holy Spirit doesn't change anything. But being empowered by Him does. Jesus didn't say when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be acquainted with Him. You'll get to know Him. Said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will fill you. It will be like breath, like wind, like ruach. He'll breathe on the inside of you. You won't know where it comes, and it'll breathe out of you, and you won't know where it's going. That's the Spirit of God. And He does everything else. God is leveling the playing field. He's plowing the field. He's planted the soil. He's brought the rain. And He's sending in laborers for the harvest because it is ready. It's what Jesus said. It's ready right here, right now, today. God is bringing everything into alignment with His will. And He's not asking for anyone to appreciate it or not. He's asking you to praise Him in it. To know your kingdom has come and your will is being done. And it's being done for only one reason, because God has said. God is awakening the dead in their grave and they're coming alive. God is quickening the minds of a generation to know that Christ within you is where the power and the excellence is. You cannot let your experiences of the flesh determine who you are in the Spirit. It's deceiving and it's discouraging. When God created man on the earth, He said, have dominion and reign and rule over it. Just do what you believe me to be. And if you believe me to be God, there's not a lot to do. You just believe, and then like the wind, God begins to do through you. Doors of honor and favor open in the kingdom of God, and we pull on heaven and incredible things begin to manifest. God's glory is manifest. But you have to bring your offering, bring your emotions so you feel them. Good for you. Sorry, you feel it. Good for you. Bring it and say, here's my offering. Here's my sacrifice. I'm a prepared vessel for your glory. Rain on me. Rain through me. Rain in me. I'm one with you. The word says He poured out His Spirit into us. So we became like a bottle of water being poured into the ocean. We became one with the ocean. Try and get that bottle out of that ocean again. You can dip in and get bottle after bottle, pitcher after pitcher, but you will never be able to divide it from the whole of the ocean. It is now one with the ocean's waters. So are we in Christ. When God pours His Spirit into you, you become one with the oceans of His Spirit, one with the outpouring of His Spirit. You become one, and it's impossible to ever take you out. It's impossible to go in there and say, oh, there's that bottle of water again. It'll never be done. It'll never be separate again. It's one with the whole. It's one from this part, the edge of the bank you stand on, to the edge of the next bank that it hits on the other side of the world. Christ in you is that hope of glory. It's time for us to begin to research and to seek the kingdom of God's waters. It's time for us to begin to seek. I've told you, they say that there's only about 20% of the ocean's floor that's ever been mapped or really discovered. And way more about the moon and Mars. We do the same thing in the church. We look for things so far beyond us, we never realize the truth and the power that lies right at our feet. Christ is in his fullness today. And if you don't see it, you'll be like the same people that sat there and rebuked him because he made himself one with the Father. Or you can be like the widow woman, or you can be like the woman with the issue of blood, or you can be like blind Bartimaeus and say, I heard the sound of your voice and I know you're present. What you need, what I need, you are, and you're here right now. In the presence of the word of the Lord here today, God is present with you. God is aligning your life so perfectly, so profoundly, so orchestratedly so that it sounds like a symphony to heaven. And what you need to do is take, it's not about how much you give or don't give. It's not about how much you lost or how much you found. No matter what offering you bring to the Lord, it's not about how much you've brought. It's about how much of you came with it. If you hold back, you didn't all come with it. Your body is not a received living sacrifice until you offer up your will. That's why people that are led by the Spirit, they give the way they do. They're not giving things, they're giving of themselves. And that is a pleasing sacrifice to God. That's what Christ did. He gave his life. And he gave it for you. And then when he rose from the grave, he gave it to you. And then when he ascended with you. When he appears in all the ways that he's going to appear, you're not going to go with him, you're coming with him. Or do you not believe you are seated with him in heavenly places? Do you not believe that he ascended on high and with us all and took all that were captive and made us free in him? Do you believe that he filled all the heavens and all the earth and all the universe? When he ascended, he filled it with the glory of God. It wasn't one thing he did. He did everything. Everything necessary. Everything necessary. You don't need to just be filled with the Spirit. You need to be born Spirit. And you're filled with Spirit. I have no reservation, Jesus said. Peter said, far be it from you. This shouldn't happen. This is I rebuke you. You will not die. You surely will not die. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things which be of men and not of God. For this purpose I came into the world, and for this purpose I will fulfill the will of the Father, will of God. We're not waiting for anything. We're here living in the will of the Father. We're living in the will of the Father. And if you'll wrap your faith around that, God will transform you in ways you had never thought possible. God will do in and through you inscrutable things, the word says, things you couldn't figure out, things beyond your imagination. See, we address God as the God that's with us because he helps us with the things we need. He fixes the broken things. He helps us understand. He heals us. He delivers us. But he's more than that. He did that so you could forget about yourself and begin to think about him. He didn't deliver you because you were in need. He delivered you because he loves you. Sitting on the sofa the other day, and we have a little white cockapoo. She's the cutest thing. Or Maltese. She's the cutest little Maltese, I think, on the planet. Just adorable. And when she lays down on the white pillows, she disappears. You can't see her. I've sat on her before because it was a pillow. Shouldn't be sitting on the pillows, my wife tells me anyway, but sometimes I do. I forget. And I'm just there petting her. And Donna has like 100 pictures of this dog sitting on my lap, making the same face she always makes, with the same haircut, same color, same eyes, sitting on her same husband. But she's got a camera full of these pictures of this same dog. She has different color bows. every couple of weeks. And she'll say, oh, honey, look at her. Look at how, and I'm looking at her and I'm like, that's the same look you told me to look at yesterday and the day before and the week and the month and last year. But she has a different color bow. And Donna says, oh, you love me. She's saying to the dog, don't you love him? And of course she loves me. I mean, come on, I'm lovable, right? But I said, she loves me because I scratch her ears. And Donna looked at me so matter of fact and said, well, everybody loves somebody for something. I said, wow, that's actually profound. Not being sarcastic. Well, she's going to love you for something. She's not going to just love you for nothing. About the dog, okay? And trust me, she's cute, and if she turns her head a little bit, it's another frame. It's just another advantage point. You know, it's another viewpoint here, and she looks totally different than she did, you know, 3 seconds ago, so I get it. And I said, that is profound. God loved you for something. He didn't just love you for nothing. He loves me because he's God. No. He loves me because he created me to be his will. He loves you because he created you to be his will. His image. That's why he loves you. I actually had to learn that from my dog. Kind of like the mule, the donkey, you know, speaks. And I went, wow, you know what? That's true. I have people that love me, and I know they love me, but I know they love me because of my gift. And I would say, yeah, they love me because of my gift. But never did I realize that the dog has to have a reason to love me. And she loves me because I scratch her ears. And I can scratch her ears better than anybody. So Cindy says. But God loves you for a reason. And that reason is how he looks on the inside of you. That reason is that you're a unique, specific part of the body of the only begotten of the Father. You're a specific part of the body of Christ, and no one carries your digit. No one has your limb. You are a unique person of the body of Christ, and he loves you for it. And he wants you to walk in its fullness. And he made you, so it's not up to you other than to believe God. A lot of people believe in him. Getting acquainted with the Holy Spirit won't change you, but being empowered by him will. Knowing there is a Holy Spirit won't change you, but surrendering yourself before him, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your true worship. That's a worshiper. I present myself to you, O God. My emotions, whatever you're feeling today, that maybe challenging time, that uncertainty, you don't know what it is. God doesn't need your stuff. He's after your heart. He's after your mind. He doesn't want you to have everything you need to do what he wants you to do. He wants you not to have what you need to do what he wants you to do, because then you're going to try to do it and you're going to get tired. And then if you do anything, you're going to get arrogant. So God said, of me, through me, and to me are all things, to whom be glory, honor, and praise. And I'm putting all of that power within you. I'm making you a part of the ocean. I've poured my spirit into you. And now you and I are one. Stop waiting for a day that has already arrived. Stop looking for something that is present with you. Stop looking for your phone in the next room when it's in the palm of your hand. I think I shared this a few days ago. My sister came down and was celebrating my birthday with me and my family. And she's running through the house. Where is my phone? I cannot believe I lost that phone again. Where in the world? She's running all over the house looking for it. And I hear her go, oh, no. By the way, none of the rest of us saw it in her hand either. We were looking in the same direction she was looking. Every place else. I don't know, sis, where could it be? I don't know, let's go. And she's got it in her hand. And we do the same thing as a church. We point to Christ someplace that he isn't, instead of where he is. He's right here, right now. We have to start pointing. He said, go out. I want you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, and declare good news. To rejoice, to pray without ceasing. This is the will of God for you in Christ. To rejoice, to be excited, to be happy, to be blessed, to be filled, to be empowered. And to know that you need to consider the Holy Spirit. Consider the Holy Spirit. He has a awareness. Holy Spirit has an understanding. Holy Spirit has the heart of the Father. Do you think you can grieve him? Of course you can. He is Holy Spirit. Of course you can. What must it feel like in a depth of awareness beyond what we are aware of, other than by Holy Spirit, if he comes to fill you and you reject him? Holy Spirit doesn't want a piece of you, and he won't come into a piece. The headquarters is his. He fills you completely, or he doesn't fill you at all, because he can't. He is not peace of God. He is Spirit of God. The only battle you have is unbelief, regardless of what you face. Scripture for it, the battle is mine, says God. It's not yours. I'll fight it for you. All I want you to do is I want you to rejoice. I want you to be glad. And when you bring the offering of your emotions, I want you to do it joyfully. If you brought an offering, would any of you bring an offering before God and throw it on the altar and go, that was so hard, and walk away? Well, then pick it up and take it back. The word says, give willingly and not grudgingly. Give abundantly, give generously, give out of your heart. Would you bring an offering before the Lord with a wrong attitude? With, oh my gosh, this is so hard. No, then don't bring your emotions with a grudging heart. And this is so hard. Bring it joyfully. Thank you, God. You've given me emotions, whether it feels like fear or sorrow or uncertainty or worry. Here's my offering. Because the offering God wants is the offering you are. Surrender, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you and he will lift you up. Well, I've given it all. I've gotten rid of it all. Fine. What about your attitude? That doesn't sound like a very acceptable, pleasing offering. How about what David said? Lord, we've brought this tremendous amount of wealth, but what is it that we have done since it came from you anyway? But David brought his heart before the Lord, and that's what meant everything. You'll give differently when your heart is in it. You'll give more abundantly, for sure, but you'll give more joyfully. And the blessing of God's favor isn't coming. It's already there when you meet that altar with your whole heart. And the interpretation of the world you're living in begins to change. And what was difficult and impossible and hard and shallow and beyond being able to even wrap your mind around it becomes unimportant. And all that matters is not my will, your will be done. And then transforming power takes charge over your mind, and the dominion of God begins to take control over your thoughts and your fears, and the whole dimension, the whole sphere of your reality becomes one with the Father. And all the fear goes away. Now you've brought an offering. You haven't brought it all until you've brought yourself. You haven't brought it all until you brought your mind and your heart, and you're thankful and you're rejoicing and you're saying, God, what next? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's do it again. Let's walk in the Spirit, and you'll not be fulfilled with the lust of the flesh. And when lust comes, what does it do? It kills. Kind of like a cookie. It tempts you, and then it punishes you. Receive the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the knowledge of who He is. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we give You praise today. We pull upon Your heavens, O God. God, arrangement is so perfect you can't even see it. If you were able to see, if you will open your eyes and see how God has so perfectly arranged and is associating His will with those of faith and those that believe, then you would rejoice. Today would be a day of rejoicing and thankfulness and gladness, saying, look and see what God has done. Everything God has brought you through, it wasn't God just walking with you, trying to help make sure you just made it through. It was God saying, I want you to know I'm with you in this, so this doesn't matter. That I'm with you is all that matters. And if you'll see that, you'll see my hand of glory. I'll take all division out. I will rebuild, I will renew, I will reestablish, I will reordain, I will reassociate, I will bring great peace. It will feel as though the tough stuff never happened because of the glory of the Lord. It is like giving birth while a woman is in the pangs of delivering a child. The pain is so evident and so present. But once the child has been born, she forgets the pain for the joy of the child that has been born. The joy of the child, the youth of your faith. God can make you young again. It is by faith. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Your faith in its full, which means surrendering everything that gave you any confidence regarding the future. See, prophecy is the future in the present. Word is alive here and now. Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. And when you speak a word of faith, when you believe into a word of faith, your body ends up following those actions of faith. And the Spirit of God dwells in that faith. And that is youthful faith. And I prophesied this to you the other day. That is youthful faith. And youthful faith has the power to do everything that you've believed it could do. Heal you, bless you, keep you, guide you, save you, transform you. Youthful faith is faith acted on as though there was nothing to lose. Just like when you're a kid, you just go, let's do it. Me and my wife, we did a lot of things. Let's just go. I remember one day, we're moving. We're just taking off. We had no money. We didn't have anything. Let's just move. I feel God saying move. We get up, pack up everything, and we just move. Where are we going? God said, go here. We go there, and then things just come together and happen. And God blessed, and crowds always showed up when we ministered. It was just incredible. Just that youthful faith. Just go do what God said. Well, what if we lose it all? We don't have anything to lose. David didn't have anything to lose. That's why he was able to do what he did. Oh, God had blessed him with wealth and honor, but his faith was that of a youth. He never left the days of his sling behind. He carried the sling in his heart all the days of his life. Youthful faith. And God knows what it takes to get us to that point. God has blessed this generation, and the alignment is so precise. Nations are bowing their knee to the living God. God will end wars that will never start, and end wars before they can get started. Just in the beginning days, the Lord will bring peace to your troubled waters. There is a great sense of confidence coming over the body, and that's going to make them greater supporters, greater worshipers, powerful believers, empire builders, the kingdom of God builders. What do you mean? The advancement is God's kingdom being manifest through us and through the faith God has placed within you. And it doesn't matter. I don't care how old you are, Sarah and Abraham. God said, at this age, you're going to bless nations, and nations will know you are blessed. And nations will be blessed because of your youthful faith. God wasn't after their age. He was after their faith. And their faith made them young again. And it wasn't just Isaac. It continued. That seed is in the inside of you. You are the seeds of Abraham. And this is that day for you. God has orchestrated such a wonderful, incredible season of time unlike anything that you have ever experienced before. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? You know I'm talking to you, right? Only just believe. Jesus, Son of David. I want to receive my sight. I pray God opens the eyes of the body of Christ today. God, open your eyes to see in ways you have never seen before. God, open your ears to hear in ways you have never heard before. God, give you an understanding that you haven't had before. There isn't any way anyone can end you or your future. It's not in the hands of man. Your future is in the hands of Almighty God. And He holds you in His care. He loves you because He sees His image in you. He sees His purpose, His life. He sees the blood of His Son coursing through your spirit. He sees His salvation. He sees His grace. He sees His mercy. He loves you. He has a reason to. Christ is in you. Jesus said, "The Father loves me." And if you love Him, He loves you. If you love me, Jesus said, He loves you. The Father has a reason to love you. Christ is in you in the fullness. These will be the greatest times of joy and rejoicing, praise and thanksgiving. Churches are going to be turned around. Some will be swept away, and it's okay because God is going to, in the middle of no place, raise up something that God is glorified for, because the word of the Lord is, I will hear my own voice coming out of my people. Because I have put my word in their mouth, and they will resound my praises. People will begin to worship without speaking about themselves, their orientation, their realities, except Christ within me is the hope of glory. Worship is about to sweep our nations. Worship, true worship. For the only theme is God be glorified, your kingdom has come, your will is being done in earth as in heaven. And with this prophetic insight and understanding, because prophecy is foretelling that which is to be made known, then you have to have a prophetic spirit that is willing to see it for what it is today. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last day, God said, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. One of the things I love about the body of Christ is their hunger for the word of the Lord. I love people that love the prophetic anointing of God, because it draws on me, it pulls on me. And we have the power to do that. Paul had a handkerchief. Jesus had a robe. I have a rope. Elijah had a mantle. David had a sling. You have a wristband. Raise your hands before God today. Pray with me. Father, I give you praise that everything is coming together so perfectly. You have orchestrated my life in synchronization, in perfect alignment with yours. It is Christ who lives in me. I am not only filled, I am born spirit, and I am empowered by spirit. I am empowered by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, indwell me in your fullness. I am a living sacrifice poured out on the altar of my God and his Christ. I am crucified with you, and it is not I that lives. You live in me and in my place, and you are glorified. So it is, yes, and in you. Amen, Jesus. Give the Lord a shout in the house today. With your youthful faith, begin to build. The loss is over. The increase has come. The little is gone. The much has made itself known. God says, if you can believe me to keep what you've had, can't you believe me to give you what you've never had? Can you believe? That's all God asks. Don't look at little. Don't look at what was or even what is. Look at what is to come. And look at what will be done that has not been done in that which still remains. And see what God will do that you do not know he is doing. Nothing has held you back. There's no evil power that can hinder you. There is no power but of God, and those powers which be are ordained of God, and all things are for his purpose and for his pleasure. So look and see what God is saying and what God is doing. God is doing a new thing. Come on, Californians. God is doing a new thing in the heart, in the heart, in the heart of California. In the heart of California. God is doing a new thing. Steve, God is doing a new thing in you, in the heart. You'll be able to feel the heartbeat of technology, creativity, theatrical. You'll feel the heartbeat because God's bringing you that close to it. You'll be able to feel the pulse of it. It's by the revelation that you release from your mouth that will open. Your gift will bring you before the great. It isn't over. How could it be over? God just didn't want you to die young. So he's given you youthful faith so you'd live long and strong. God is doing a work in all the nations of the earth. But right now, my feet are planted in California. Give Tustin, the Tustin facility, give it to God and tell him it belongs to him and it is to stand as a symbol. And only if God wants it will he take it of his own accord, and nothing can stop that. But if you will plant your feet solidly and begin to be creative out of that house, out of that facility, God will do things that you tried to do and weren't accomplished because it is a different you, Matthew Crouch, Lori Crouch. God is doing through you things that no one has seen coming. Just like the wind of the Spirit, God said, breathing into you and out of you. It is time for us to come together in the unity of faith and create the very vision of the kingdom of God. It is time for us to do it together, to do it as one, to do it in the spirit of truth and power, and to unite with one heart and one mind and say, what God has given and God has kept, God will do wonders through. It will be as though a new temple has been built on an old foundation, with everything remaining as a symbol of what has been kept by faith and the Word of God. This is the most creative season. This is the most profound season. This is the most spiritually, technological breakthrough of time, and God will put you right in the heart of it, and you will be one of the very first to execute what God has brought to life. It will affect health, it will affect the mind, it will affect creativity, it will affect vision, it will affect prophecy. It will awaken the spirit of those that have laid dormant and make them alive. Lazarus will come out of his tomb and will live again. What has been wrapped up is old and put away and considered dead. God will unwrap and say, be renewed, come alive. I have a plan for you, and you will bear witness that I'm God in you. In film production and in creativity, distributing and demonstrating by word and by prophecy, the kingdom of God is at hand on every platform beyond possible, in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise. Lazarus, come forth. Stand up, rise up, and walk in the power of God's Spirit. God's glory is there. I see you here and I see you there. Just like Jesus said, Abraham saw me. I already see you in all these places. You're already there. It's like the work is over. You get to walk in the rest. What a great thing is that. Everywhere you step, Anton, it's going to feel like rain. It's just raining. It's going to feel like rain, as though you felt moisture out of a clear sky. The rain of God has descended on you. You've made your faith your purpose. And your purpose is your faith. And your faith will forge your future. You're covered, covenanted, and blessed of the Lord. Chosen, called of God, ordained of the Father. DeRay, you've only begun to consider the liberty that God brings to you, the freedom and the joy of His anointing on your life. You will touch countless people by the word that God has revealed to you through His Spirit, by what He has done in you and through you. You had to be a vessel through which God could pour through you, and everything about you would flow out. So everything about you would be Christ in you. You are at that season. You are at that time. You are that vessel. You are that instrument. This is the season God chose and called you His own. And to walk in the power of joy and peace, unlike you have known since you were a baby. These will be the youthful seasons and days and months and years and hours and moments and seconds of your life. You'll know peace from the waking hour to the time you close your eyes, to wake up yet again the next day. the joy of the Lord fills you. God is with you to do wondrous things. And God, we give you praise. Because the word of the Lord has spoken it. God is present with us in power and spirit and truth and life. Cecilia, God fills you with health and joy and strength in your spirit, in your mind, in your body. Rejoice and say, this is what the Lord of heaven, this is what the great physician says about me. Walking in all that you know is wise and right to do, the great physician, God Almighty, is the healer of you. We pull upon the heavens of God. I rejoice. I see nations spinning on their heels, saying, what is going on? And the righteous stand up and they say, let us interpret for you. We will tell you what is going on. As Peter did in the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what is going on. Hear, all you nations of the earth. This is that which was spoken of by the Lord, whom you crucified, who you rejected. This is the day of the Lord. This is the hour of our God and of His Christ. This is the hour of renewal and restoration. This is the hour of our King. The King has come. Blessed be the name of He who comes in the name of the Lord. What was bitter in the mouths of those that rejected the word of the Lord will become far more palatable. As a matter of fact, it will become desired. They're going to say, hey, we need more content about the kingdom of God. We need to know more about this. It's selling. But God will say, it is not what is sold. It's the price that has been paid. And that is me. And God will touch and heal the nations. It will be a sign, as Jesus said, if you can't believe me for anything else, believe me for the wonders and the works that I do. That's what you are about to do. Believe me for the very wonders that I do. And it's not you that will do it. It's the people around you that will believe for the very wonders that God does through you and through you and through you. For the very wonders God does through you. But it is not the wonder that moves you. It is the glory of God that fills you. And you are in a state of perpetual joy. Just, God, it feels so glorious to be in your presence and in worship and just in the tender moment of the Holy Spirit, the sensitive moment of the Holy Spirit. God restores you in every way imaginable. This is the hour of God's favor. This is the season and the hour. It belongs to the Lord. Would you give God praise in the house today? Woo! You will know the greatest days of joy. You'll know the greatest season of excitement and rejoicing, true rejoicing. And the moment that it happens will feel like a moment that will never end. Because we are walking in the eternity. It is time to begin to put your foot on the road of God's eternity. That golden street, that crystal clear road. Eternity is at hand. It is time to walk in the spirit of God's eternity here and now. Holy Father, who are in heaven, holy and mighty is your name. Your kingdom come. So it has. Your will be done in the earth as it is in the heavens. And the glory will show up differently here than it does there. Because this is the blood-bought, redeemed body of Christ, filled with power from on high. And the fullness of the Father is made apparent, precise, perfect, powerful now. This is the day of the Lord. This is the hour of our God and of His Christ. Go ahead and give Him praise again. Come on. Yeah. Woo! 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 Give me a woo in the house. Give me a woo in the house. Lift your voice. Shout unto God, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto your God with a voice of praise. He is with you. Blessed be your name. Forever you're the same, never change. Eternal God, holy God, my God, Lord God, one God. Every knee will bow to confess Jesus. He's the one, He's the way, He's the best. Only way you can say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. One word, one name, one spirit, one power echoing through the nations. They can hear Him in their own tongue. Know what God is saying. What is He saying? He's delivering the wonders of His kingdom into your hands, speaking of the wondrous things of God. Every ear will hear. Every tongue confess. Jesus Christ is Lord, Savior, King, mighty God. He's the best. Wondrous Lord, Heavenly Father, Prince of Peace, Treasure of Heaven, Everlasting Waters, Holy Mountain, Bright and Morning Star, Sweet-Smelling Fragrance, Rose of Sharon, Mighty God, Prince of Perfect Peace, we worship You. God of the furnace, God of the fire, God of the river, God of the oceans, God of the mire. Lord of all, in all, through all, to all, God be glorified in all said and done. We give You praise, Father, Spirit, Son. This is a day that God has made. We will rejoice and say, it doesn't have to be a better day. He is the day today. First, the last, the beginning and the end, which was, is, and is to come. What would we wait for if it's all three in one? Jesus. 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 Jesus today. Jesus yesterday. Jesus tomorrow and forevermore. Time to learn about eternity today. Not waiting for another season to pass away. Raise Lazarus from the dead. Let him walk in today and say the resurrection, eternal life of Christ abides in this moment. So one voice together, let's all say, Jesus, You are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, for always and forever, we bless Your holy name. Jesus, You are the same. Abraham saw You, but they said You hadn't come yet. But You said You had, and He said You did. Eternal life and resurrection power. Many said it didn't exist, but Lazarus walked in it because You said it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. In the day of Pentecost, people of every language and every nation heard You speak in their own tongue, and they marveled, saying, "How can this be? Aren't these Galileans? How do they, not how do they speak, how do we hear them in our own language?" It's like the wind of the Spirit. If you'll walk in it, everyone can understand that, because that's what you're born of. And God will make His word in you clearly known and the vision clearly understood. And we will come together in the unity of the faith of the Son of God as though we all spoke the same language. And God is glorified. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, He is one. And He is God with us. Give the Lord praise today.